Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Was It Something I Said? I'm your host Yasmeen, and on this episode I'm going to talk about the new season's intentions and values. I'm mentally preparing to go back to school in Vermont, and how Black radicals and their literature are shifting the way I view the world. So let's start with the new intentions and values. So I realized that throughout my whole 4 years of doing this podcast, I never really sat down and figured out what my intentions were and what the values of the show were. I kind of had my own values, and I really just kind of did it for fun. Like, I did it for fun. I did it because it seemed like an awesome thing to do, and that was really it. And I'm older now, and I have values, and I need to be intentional with my time. And I need to be intentional with my platform, however small it is. I'm putting a lot of time and effort and energy into it, so I think it's really important that I just kind of outline what it is I'm doing here. It wasn't something I said. So my intentions are to make this project love increasing, to make this project come from a place of personal necessity. Capitalism tells us that we always need to be growing, or our work is not worth it. I am rejecting that. I have no desire for growth. This project is for love, knowledge, and pleasure. And my values, my investment lies in a constant state of learning. I'm not an expert, I'm a student. In talking about things that concern people other than myself, I will speak only as a person who is well researched. I am a gender non-binary, gender non-conforming. I use they, them pronouns exclusively. My podcast is not activism. I am not an activist. I am a writer. I am a student. I am eager for the deaths of capitalism, cis-heteropatriarchy, and white supremacy. All of my love is in my community. All of my love is in my community. So those are the intentions and the values of the show, and that's really it. So now that that's out of the way, I wanted to talk about something that's really weird, and I've kind of been on this trajectory for a bit. I remember in junior year, I told my friend that I felt like I was going through puberty a second time. And honestly, I think those feelings have kind of resurged, and it's like these feelings of just like not knowing what's going on and everything changing all the time, and not really sure what's going on with my body. And something that was really a marker of puberty for me and just middle school, and that's kind of like what I'm going to title this episode. I feel like I'm in middle school because in middle school I had a lot of social anxiety symptoms, and I always felt like I was a total weirdo, and I had trouble like speaking to people and just having social interactions. And so I spent a lot of time reading, and I was like a nerd, and I was like a recluse. And honestly, that's how I feel right now. And it's not as bad as middle school, because I think I have a little bit more self-esteem, and I think I know a little bit more about myself. So it's not like I feel all those things and then I also feel horrible for feeling them. But it's really strange, because I guess I thought that stage of my life where I was questioning everything and anxious all the time was over. I thought I had conquered it, but I guess not. My social anxiety symptoms have kind of been coming back. When I go places to like do adult stuff, I get choked up, I get scared. I don't like to do the phone call thing. Like, phone calls freak me out again. I have trouble sometimes, like, just speaking to people, speaking to my friends. Like, I get in my head and I'm just like, oh my god, you're so weird and you're so lame. And it's weird because at the same time as that, I'm like pretty secure in who I am, but then as far as like my interactions with other people, I've just been really doubting myself lately, and I haven't really felt like that since middle school. So that is interesting. I'm currently in the process of mentally preparing myself to go back to Vermont, back to school, and I've been doing like some stuff for myself to kind of make that process and that transition a bit easier. My classes for this semester, I'm really excited for my classes this semester. I'm taking a class on Black queer writing. I'm taking a class on interviewing people, on video production, and I'm taking a class on music of the civil rights movement. So I'm really excited for my classes, and I looked at my schedule and it's like full. Like, I don't have a moment. I really don't have a moment throughout the week to rest. Like, I know I'm gonna be busy, and you know, rest is awesome. Like I've said before, being lazy is awesome. At the same time, I'm at a point with my school where if I have too much time, too much idle time, I think it's easy for me to slip back into those just really low moments and really dark moments, and so I think having a lot of class is gonna help bring me out of that. And then something I'm really excited about is I'm bringing my old television from when I was a very small kid. It's a small TV, but it's got a DVD player. And so the plan is to like borrow a bunch of DVDs from the library, and then I can play them on my little TV in my little dorm room. That's the plan. We'll see how that all works out, because I tend to do this thing where in my head I really just make something such a big deal, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so excited to watch library DVDs in my dorm room on this small television. But we'll see, maybe it will be awesome. I feel really good about the TV, you guys. I feel really good about it. I think it's gonna make the semester. So yeah, and you know what, now that I'm writing more and reading more and trying to get back into the podcast stuff, so I think it will be easier to cope with that because I have my platforms and I have my outlets, my creative outlets, and I've reconnected with some people back home. So I'm hoping that all of that just contributes to making the semester a little bit less lonely and hard. I think the TV is really what it is. When I first got back here from winter break, I started reading a lot, like more than I've read, I think, since the summer. And a part of that was just like escapism for sure, because I was just feeling really sad and kind of out of control. And so when I got back here, I felt really sad and out of control. So I started to read a lot to kind of self-soothe and kind of, you know, take my emotions and not bury them, but kind of like, you know, soothe them, give them a little bit of a break, and just let myself kind of go into these worlds and whatever. And then I started to, at first when I got here, I was reading like queer young adult fiction, like I talked about in the last episode, but as I kind of, you know, stopped feeling out of control, I started reading a lot of literature by Black radicals and Black literature just like in general that I had not read before. And so that took me on a whole other journey where I read, here, I guess I'll list what I've read this break that's kind of shifting the way that I'm viewing the world. So also, I'm on Goodreads. If you're on Goodreads, follow me, okay? But also, I wanna follow you because I wanna know what you're reading. This break, as far as like Black radical lit that I've read, I read Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler. I read The Spook Who Sat by the Door by Sam Greenlee. I read The Color Purple by Alice Walker. All About Love by Bell Hooks. Blood in My Eye by George Jackson. Zombie, A New Spelling of My Name by Audre Lorde. And right now I'm reading Freedom is a Constant Struggle by Angela Davis and Transcendent Kingdom by Ya Gyasi. Okay, first of all, I'm also not reading these books like one. What I've been doing winter break, and it's kind of maximizing productivity as far as like getting through the books, but it's also doing something else. I've been reading them at the same time. So I'll read two or three books at the same time. And what happens is the themes from each book overlap and expand my ideas about really basic concepts, because I'm exploring them all through different writers and different stories and different settings and different styles. So an example of this is in Parable of the Sower, Octavia Butler writes about God. And she writes, God is change. And when I read that, at first, I was like, okay. Like, I kind of didn't get it. I didn't get it. It didn't click. And then I read The Color Purple by Alice Walker. And in The Color Purple, she writes so much about God. I want to find something that's like concrete that Alice Walker wrote about God. Listen, God love everything you love and a mess of stuff you don't, but more than anything else, God love admiration. I think it pisses God off if you walk by The Color Purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. What'd it do when it pissed off, I asked. Oh, it makes something else. People think pleasing God is all God care about, but any fool living in the world can see it always trying to please us back. And also in The Color Purple, there's a quote about, you know, is God a man or whatever? And Chuck Avery's like, no, God's not a man. Because Celia's like, God's like all the other men I know, trifling and low down and dirty, I think. Trifling, low down and dirty. And Chuck Avery's like, no, God isn't a man. Like, God isn't it. Like, God is a feeling of everything. And so, God as it and God is a feeling of everything. And also, pulling in what Octavia Butler said about God, God is change, kind of created a moment of clarity for myself. And when I recognized that, you know, these themes were overlapping and expanding my ideas about these things, it was really, 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 truly interesting. And bell hooks writes about like spirituality in All About Love, but I can't remember anything that stuck out off the top of my head. I just know that likely contributed to my like big epiphany about God being change and God being everything and an it and not a man. It's just interesting. Another example of a theme that kind of I've been pulling out of Black Radical Lit is safety. And so bell hooks says that as a culture we obsess with the notion of safety, yet we do not question why we live in states of extreme anxiety and dread. Fear is the primary force upholding structures of domination. It promotes the desire for separation, the desire not to be known. When we are taught that safety lies always with sameness, then difference of any kind will appear as a threat. When we choose to love, we choose to move against fear, against alienation and separation. The choice to love is a choice to connect, to find ourselves in the other. And that really, the idea of safety really connected with what Angela Davis critiques in Freedom is a Constant Struggle, which is this security company, I think it's called G4S, this security company that is in schools and is in prisons and is assisting Israel in the occupation of Palestine. And so how, like, this idea of safety, quote-unquote, and they're like, oh, we're going to keep you safe, is really just another way to uphold these systems. And it's like safety for the people that you're imprisoning. There's this idea that sameness is what's making you safe, right? Like, bell hooks that. So it's just like, just to see like these things overlap and like making these connections has been really exciting. And then the final theme that I wanted to discuss that kind of I've seen in a lot of like Black Radical Lit is love, right? And bell hooks defines love, oh my gosh, again with bell hooks. Honestly, bell hooks is the thread through all of this. Openly and honestly expressing care, affection, responsibility, respect, commitment, and trust, right? And in The Color Purple, we see the love that Chuck Avery and Celie have for each other. And we also see how in The Color Purple, the abuse that Celie endures cannot coexist with love. Abuse negates love, right? And that's what bell hooks says. And so seeing what is very clearly a depiction of something that is not love, and then knowing, and then seeing what is, and then also knowing what is in between those two is really important. I think people infringe on the divinity and sacredness of love all the time because we don't have a good definition of it. And so having bell hooks define love for me was transformative in in the way that I view so many things and what I'm invested in. George Jackson saying in Blood in My Eye that revolution must be love inspired, and then connecting that with what love actually is, and then seeing depictions of love and also seeing depictions of what is not love has really expanded my mind into what is love and why it's so important. So overall, I am full of emotion, tired, and attempting to take good care of myself. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm going to be doing a Black Abundance revival for Black History Month, so that's going to be really fun. Episodes, I'm going to pre-record the episodes. It's not going to be a live thing because that used to stress me out so bad. I'm just going to like try and put as much effort and time into like pre-recording the radio shows. I likely will not be able to put the radio shows up on YouTube because of copyright, but I might be able to like cut the video parts out, like the parts where I'm just talking out or something like that. However, I know this because I did it last year. I can upload songs to podcast streaming platforms and it won't get like taken down. So the entire radio show will be up on podcast streaming platforms. You can like listen to it like you would listen to like anything else on Spotify, or like if you have Apple Podcasts, you can like listen to it like a podcast. So super, super fun. I'm excited about that. I'm excited for Black History Month, and I'm excited for my little TV, and I'm excited to go back to school. I'm excited to go back to school. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me today. I'm your host, Yasmeen, and this has been Was It Something I Said?